Well, good morning. Welcome to the second service on a holiday weekend. We had a good hour in the first service and looking forward to an hour of worship together with you and glad that you're here and looking forward to this time of being together. As I was reminded this past week, a few weeks ago, there was a group of us from the church that went up to Camp Barrichel and did a bunch of work up there and helped them get their summer camping season started and get ready for that. And we've got some of our church family that are there this weekend. Gaining some of the benefits of that and enjoying the Memorial Day weekend, family weekend there. But we've got some family, our church family away. We've got some out-of-the-area family here with us, so welcome to all of you. Great to have you with us this morning. I want to begin our time of worship together this morning just by reading a couple of verses of Scripture. I'm not going to have you turn in your Bibles there. We're not going to be going back later, but I'd encourage you to listen along. This past week, I was reading out of the book of Jeremiah, and I got to Jeremiah chapter 17, and I read these words. Says this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. That's kind of an interesting picture. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And as I read that, that immediately made me think of another passage of Scripture. What passage? Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way with sinners nor sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. So it's as though Jeremiah is quoting the psalm. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Goes on to the next chapter, and it says, blessed are all who take refuge in him. So we've come together this morning, and we're looking forward to worshiping the Lord together in song and in prayer and in the preaching of the word, and we're delighted that you're here, and we trust that we will, as we're gathered here, fix our eyes on Jesus, and that he will be the object of our affection and the object of our attention and the object of our worship this morning. But let's take a moment and look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll turn to the Lord in song this morning. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to gather once again in your presence and to be reminded from the Scripture of who you are and what you've done and what you've promised to do. We're grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. We're grateful that all who come to you through him, you receive. And even though our father and mother may look away from us, you will not. You will take us in. You will have us as your very own. We're grateful for Christ, our righteousness. We thank you that in him and having learned him, we can go on with him and grow up and mature in the faith and abound as we grow in grace. Father, I pray that as a result of our time together this morning, as we worship you in song and as we sing truth to one another and as we hear from your word and as we take our confidence and strength from you, I pray that you would build up your people and I pray that we would be blessed as a result of our time together this morning. We're grateful that your ultimate purpose for us is to conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus, and the work that you began, you'll carry it on to completion. We take confidence in you and confidence in your work. Father, continue your work in our midst and in our lives today. We ask you for this kind of grace in the precious and very powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good music and great to be singing with you this morning. And good message and song. Appreciate that our eyes were fixed on Jesus and all the glory that he is for us. If you have your Bibles with you, take them out. Turn to Colossians chapter 2 is where we find ourselves in our study. At the close of this sermon, we're going to be halfway through this series of messages. So we picked up the book of Colossians. We've been making our way through it. I think this is week number 5. We've got a 10-week sermon series that we're engaging in. And so we're about halfway through the book. We've been encouraging you to read the book daily, to read it multiple times a week as we go through this. And so if you've done that, You've read this book a lot of times in the last 5 weeks, and I trust that as you are making your way through this book and reading it regularly, you're seeing what Paul is doing here, how he thanks God for the Colossians, and he prays for them, and he's laboring for their maturity, and how he proclaims Christ and warns them and teaches them. And I trust that outline, and I trust the body of his letter is just becoming clearer and clearer to you as we work on this together. But I'm glad to lead you back into this this morning. Is that Ben Layer over there? Welcome, Ben. Ben is our co-laborer in the ministry, in the gospel ministry, church planting over in Poland. Bless you. Good to see you. I know you just wanted to, you know, quietly sneak in and sneak out or whatever, but I thought I caught a glimpse of you before, and so welcome. Glad to have you here. I'll connect with you afterwards. All right, Colossians chapter 2 is where we are this morning. Rooted, built up, established, and overflowing. Those are good descriptive terms. Those are good words. And those are good words of a blessed life. These are not the words that we typically see on the plaques or the pictures in our homes or in the family restaurant down the road. Typically, we walk into the family restaurant or into our homes and we see the words live, love, laugh, learn, or faith, family, friends, food. Those are the words that we typically hang on our walls, and they resonate somewhere deep within us. They communicate some level of completeness, some level of shalom. We feel at home when we see those words, faith, family, friends, food, live, laugh, love, learn. But these words, while they aren't typically hanging on our walls, rooted, built up, established, overflowing, they're certainly great descriptive words that we would like to be true of us. We would like to be rooted like a tree. And if you were here at the beginning of the service, we would have read Jeremiah chapter 17, Psalms chapter 1. We would like to be rooted like a tree planted by streams of water whose leaf does not wither. It's always green and it produces fruit. We would like to be rooted. We would like to be built up like a house, established like a covenant or a contract, a legal document, unmoving. We would like to be overflowing like a fountain. And these words we find in one sentence in Paul's letter. Rooted, built up, established, overflowing. The first and the third word, rooted and established, communicates permanence, groundedness, stability, something that's solid and consistent. The second and the fourth word, built up and overflowing, communicates growth, progress, development, flourishing, blessing. And as we think about these terms, who doesn't want to be stable and yet overflowing? Who doesn't want to be firmly established and fixed and yet still developing? We all do. And these are good descriptive terms. Let me ask you as we begin to think through these, who comes to mind when you think of these descriptions? Who comes to mind? Who exemplifies these character traits, these qualities? Because if you know someone like that, you want to surround your life with people like that, people who are rooted, built up, established, and overflowing. Matter of fact, the book of Hebrews would tell us to consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That's Hebrews 13. So who comes to mind when you think of rooted, built up, established, overflowing? And then the other question would be, how do you and I become like these kind of people? Rooted like a tree, built up like a house, established like a legal document, overflowing like a fountain, abounding in goodness and thanksgiving. Well, as I said, these four words Paul uses in one sentence in his letter to the Christians at Colossae. And he wants these descriptions to be true of them. He wants them to be rooted, built up, established, and overflowing. I think if I say that enough times, you'll leave here saying those words. But Paul writes these baby Christians, this new church in Colossae, he writes them a letter. He wants them to be rooted, built up, established, and overflowing. He doesn't want them to be the opposite. He doesn't want them to be uprooted. Have you ever seen a garden plant pulled out of the ground and laid there on the ground, withering in the sun, languishing? Well, he doesn't want them to be uprooted. He doesn't want them to be torn down, deconstructed, or stymied, halted, limited. And so he's going to warn them, and he's going to teach them so that they will press on to maturity, because he wants these descriptions to be actually true of them in their real life experience. He wants them to be rooted, built up, established and overflowing. And so he's going to tell them how to get there. How do you get there? Well, that should perk our ears up if we want to be rooted, built up, established, and overflowing. Well, these four terms show up in one verse. I've had you turn to Colossians chapter 2. They're found in verses 6 and 7. I'll put them on the screen. At this part of the letter, Paul writes to them and he says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So there's your answer. There's the answer. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, so live in him, so continue in him. Be rooted, built up, established in the faith, and abounding with thanksgiving. So big question here as we get started, how did these people in Colossae receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Because how they receive Christ Jesus the Lord is how they are to go on in him. How did you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? How did they receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Well, they didn't receive Christ Jesus as Lord by praying the sinner's prayer, as "Just as I Am" played softly in the background, and some preacher said a prayer that he wanted them to repeat like a mantra. They didn't receive Christ Jesus the Lord by saying the sinner's prayer and have a come to Jesus experience that became the object of their faith. No, how did they receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Because as they received him, they are to go on with him. And they're not going to go forward in their Christian life by continually repeating the sinner's prayer and continually going back to that experience. That's not how they're going to mature. And quite sadly, we know Christians who are stuck in that pattern. So, the question is, how did they receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Because how they received Christ Jesus as Lord is how they are going to mature in him and be rooted and built up and established and abounding. Well, we don't have to guess at this. Paul told us how they received Christ Jesus as Lord as he reiterated to them their testimony in the opening paragraphs of his letter. We've already covered this, so I'm not necessarily going to take you back to chapter 1 and reread that chapter, but he told us how they received Christ Jesus as Lord. He described it this way: they heard the word of truth. The gospel, the message of the gospel came to them. The gospel simply means good news. So the gospel came to them. The gospel simply means good news. The gospel is the good news of all that God has done for humanity through Christ. The gospel is the good news of all that God has done for all of creation through Christ. The gospel is the good news of all that God plans to do as he restores all things under the headship of Jesus Christ. That's a big cosmic message. The gospel is about God, and it's about God and Jesus. We understand that the gospel message itself is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. So God saves unto himself those who hear the message, understand the message, and respond by believing the message. And the message centers on Jesus, who is the image of God, who is the wisdom of God, who is the message of God, who is the head of everything, according to this letter. Raised from the dead, Jesus is Lord. And in him, all the fullness of God dwells. He is the head of all rule and authority. So again, I ask you, how did the Colossians receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Because how they receive Christ Jesus as Lord is how they are to go on with him and be rooted, built up, established, and abounding. How did they receive Christ Jesus as Lord? They heard the message. They understood the message. They learned about God. They learned about Jesus. They heard it through a messenger. They responded to the message positively, and they placed their faith in Jesus, like a bride does to a groom, like a soldier does to a commanding officer. And the message, which is the power of God unto salvation, which is living and active, the message bears fruit everywhere it goes, and it bore fruit in their life. It produced something. It produced a love for one another and a hope, a confident assurance of being united to God forever. So, just as they receive Christ Jesus as Lord, hearing, learning, understanding, believing, they are to go on with him. Hearing, learning, understanding, believing, and living. Walking in him, putting into practice the implications and the applications of their faith in Jesus Christ and their union with him. That's why when Paul prays for them in his second paragraph, he prays that they might increase in the knowledge of God, who they heard about, who they've learned, who they've begun to understand. He prays that they would grow in their knowledge of God's big agenda. It's a big agenda that God is doing. He's reconciling all things under the headship of Jesus Christ. He wants them to grow in the knowledge of what God's big agenda is so that they might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, being strengthened with all his power to endure, because enduring is a big deal. He wants them to endure. Paul knows that these Colossians made a start. He actually wants them to finish the race. He wants them to be rooted, built up, established, and overflowing. He doesn't want them to be uprooted, torn down, deconstructed, and disqualified. It's interesting, in the first service, I had this thought come to me, and it's coming to me again now. It's always dangerous when you go off notes. But this last week, I read an article about celebrity Christians that are generally my age who are deconstructing their faith, denying the God they once professed and the Jesus they once believed. Man, I could mention their names, some of them you would recognize. Paul doesn't want that to be true of these people. He wants them to be rooted, built up, established, overflowing, not uprooted, torn down, deconstructing, and disqualified. They began by receiving Christ Jesus as Lord. They're not going to finish without him. So just as you began with Christ, so go on with him. Paul wants these people to actually finish the race. So he's going to teach them, and he's going to warn them. You know, we believe the promises. Do we believe the warnings? Because as we go on, and we're going to read this in just a moment, in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive. Verse 16, let no one pass judgment on you. Verse 18, let no one disqualify you. Verse 19, not holding fast to the head. Chapter 1, verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, that you learned and understood and believed, which has been proclaimed in all of creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I could have you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. And he says to another group of Christians, he says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the gospel and turning to another gospel that isn't even a gospel. He doesn't want that to be true of these people. Paul is saying to these infant Christians, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. How do they receive Christ Jesus as Lord? It's like I want to keep repeating that. How do they receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Not praying the sinner's prayer with "just as I am" in the background and a pastor giving them a mantra to say. Because if they're going to receive Christ Jesus that Lord, how are they going to go forward in that? How do they receive Christ Jesus as Lord? They heard a message. They learned about God. They learned about Jesus. They understood the message. They responded and placed their faith in Jesus. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue in him. So continue in him. So walk in him. You learn Christ, now live in Christ. After all, in Christ you've been made complete. You've been given everything. So don't wander from him. No. Walk in him. Be rooted, built up. Rooted in him, built up in him, established in the faith and overflowing with thankfulness, just as you were taught. So you learn Christ, live in Christ, be rooted. All right, last Sunday morning, in the second service at least, this service, we recognized our high school graduates. A month ago, we did baptism in the first service, and you missed all of that. Well, last Sunday, we did recognition of our high school graduates in the first service, missed all of that. So we try to, I don't know what we're trying to do. But we did recognize our high school graduates last Sunday morning. These high school graduates of ours, that they will go forward now, and some of them will attend college, and some will go to trade school, and some will join the military, and some will just jump into the workforce. But along the way, they're going to pick up some new skills, things they don't know now. Their parents are hoping that they pick up some work skills. Some productive help your neighbor work skills. True? Yeah, okay. As they go forward in college, trade school, military, join the workforce, whatever, they're going to learn some new skills as they put those skills into practice, they're going to gain some level of proficiency. They're going to get better at it. And as they keep applying what they've learned and keep putting it into practice, their proficiency is going to increase, and they're going to improve. It's kind of like a month ago, we had a men's breakfast, and George Krieger was there, and he shared his testimony. He spent 40 years as a pattern maker. Guess what? George is a pretty good pattern maker after 40 years. Doing better at the 40th year than the first year, right? So these high school graduates, they're going to pick up some skills. As they put those skills into practice and they begin to work those out, they're going to gain some level of proficiency. If they stay in that lane and they keep becoming more and more proficient, they're going to become professionals. And then as professionals, they'll become more perfect in their profession. For example, there's not a single one of you who wants your first house built by a guy who's just a freshman in Delta College picking up, you know, industrial trades. You're like, no, I think I'm going to go with someone who's got a little more experience. None of you are going to want to have open heart surgery or your knee replaced by an intern, a medical intern. You go, so how many of these knee replacements have you done? Oh, no, you'll be my first one. I don't think so. We want someone who's done this before. We want someone who's got a little more proficiency. Someone who's been brought along. So in a real sense, Paul is saying, you learn Jesus, keep learning him, and live in him, and become more and more proficient in being a Christian. A Christian is just a little Christian, right? A little Christ. And so he's saying, hey, put this life into practice. This new life that you've been brought into, put it into practice and become more proficient at it. Become a professional as you progress toward Christ perfecting you. And don't be distracted by derailing substitutes. That's where the warnings are going to take us next. No, set your heart on Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, and keep going after him. Just as you received him as Lord, continue in him, walk in him, live in him. Let me give you another illustration. 33 years ago, this year, later this year, Lynn and I will have been married for 33 years. A legal document established our union. There's a marriage license signed somewhere on file in some registered of deeds office and somewhere in our house. But we were married 33 years ago. A legal document established our union, and God put us together as husband and wife. And both are true. On our wedding day, we were doing something, and God was doing something. We were making promises to one another, saying vows, exchanging rings, giving a public display of affection. We were doing things, and they were important. There were witnesses there. They saw it taking place. They were a part of that. And so we were doing something, and God was doing something, and both are important. That's a message for another time. I'll leave that there right now. But when I married Lynn 33 years ago, she didn't give me a list of rules that I was to keep that would make our union flourish. But I've learned, and I'm learning, there are things that you do and don't do that are directly related to the relationship that we share. Y'all tracking with me? Is Lynn in the room? She was in the first service. I might have more liberty in the second service. I have discovered there are certain things, this is hard for you to believe, I know, but there are certain things that annoy Lynn. And I'm trying to do less and less of them. And there are certain things that please Lynn, and I'm trying to do more and more of those things. If there were a list of rules, if first, second, third year into our marriage, we came up with a list of rules, and if Lynn and I were able to keep those rules and keep our eyes on those rules and dutifully perform the list, that still would not result in a flourishing relationship. Because dutifully keeping the rules isn't very attractive. We could pull out the list and say, oh, I took out the garbage, I made the bed, I recognized the anniversary, got the flower, check, check, check. There's nothing beautiful about that, right? Some of you are wondering. Dutiful rule-keeping isn't very attractive. There's a relational dynamic that's needed. a relationship of love and humility and compassion and service, a relationship of attraction and affection. That's delightful. It's work. It takes effort, but it's beautiful. Marriage conferences, you ever been to one? Marriage conferences are rather interesting. Sometimes you go to a marriage conference, and you're doing pretty good when you arrive, and you go there to be encouraged and built up, and you leave feeling worse than when you arrived. The best marriage conferences give you a big vision of love and life together. The worst marriage conferences are the ones where they send you home with a list of rules that the presenters have put together that will make your relationship flourish. And you come home looking at the list instead of looking at one another. Paul is saying to these believers, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, you heard the gospel, you learned Christ, you understood the message, you believed Jesus, and you placed your faith in him, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, keep learning him and keep living in him. Just as you responded to the gospel and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you've been joined to him, and in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and in him he's the head of all rule and authority, well, keep learning him and keep living in him. In him you have it all. In him you are complete. So keep your heart fixed on Jesus and your eyes fixed on him. For in that you will progress and mature and be rooted, established, built up, and flourishing, abounding, overflowing. Keep putting into practice the dynamics of this new life. You've been brought into a relationship with God through Christ, and it's grace to you. Don't go searching for some special key, something that you're missing, some magic mantra, some initiation rite. No, in Christ, you've been given it all. And in him, you've been made full. So stay with him. Stick with the substance, he's going to say. Well, I've not read much. I've read two verses, Colossians 6 and 7. The passage that is our assigned text for this morning is 6 through 19. Now, I'm going to read the couple paragraphs. There's a lot that I'm not going to cover because next week we're going to press on in the next two paragraphs and we're going to come back to this. So some of you are going to be like, you didn't cover these things. Well, be patient with me. Lord willing, we'll circle back to some of these things next week. But I want you to see the full argument that he's making here. So look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Follow along. I'll read down to verse 19. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been made, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all of its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels and going on detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. All right, there's a lot here, and some of it we'll circle back into next week. But if I were to create a visual, just a visual of what Paul is saying here, this is what I would construct. Just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, you received Christ, you heard about him, you understood the message, you responded, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been brought into a union with him, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. So Jesus is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He told his disciples to follow him. So Paul is saying the same thing. Just as you learn Christ and place your faith in him, so now walk in him. Don't be taken captive by wisdom that is not according to Christ. Philosophy is the word that Paul uses. Philosophy is simply the love of wisdom. Paul is not opposed to the love of wisdom. He's opposed to the wisdom that is not according to Christ, not according to the new creation, not according to the kingdom of Christ. He has told us that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. To love wisdom is to love Jesus. He's not opposed to loving wisdom. He's opposed to loving wisdom that is worldly. And he's saying, don't be taken captive or led astray by old order wisdom that's connected to fallenness, brokenness, rebellion, the old order where evil reigned. Christ has defeated evil and disarmed those authorities. Christ has triumphed over evil and made you alive. So don't be led astray to a wisdom that doesn't come from him. Don't be distracted. Keep building your life on Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is the way. Just as you received him, keep walking in him. Don't be taken captive by wisdom that's not according to Christ. And let no one disqualify you by grasping at shadows and not holding fast to the head. Don't be led astray by self-made religion with all of its man-made rules. No. Hold on to Jesus. Keep learning him. Keep looking to him. Don't go forward attempting to build up your own righteousness, especially when Jesus is your righteousness. Don't walk around attempting to build up your righteousness by keeping your nose in some Christian standard policy manual, some rule book that someone created. Because if you do that, you won't be looking to Jesus. You'll simply be trying to keep the rules. And as you try to keep the rules, you'll be watching yourself and judging yourself based on your performance and looking at others and judging them based on your performance and their performance. And that's not the way to mature. You'll just be comparing yourself among yourselves. That's no good. Fix your eyes on Jesus. In him, you have it all. Just as you receive Christ Jesus, so live in Christ Jesus. Just as you learn Christ, live in Christ. That's the way to mature. That's the way to be rooted, built up, established, and overflowing. Look to Jesus. You've learned him. Go on learning him. You've received him. Walk in him. Learn what pleases him. And put it into practice. You're in a relationship with him now. A relationship that's yours by grace, established by God. God's done something remarkable. So, in summary, you need a summary of this? Or have you had enough of it? Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, by hearing the message, understanding the message, learning Christ, believing him, so walk in him. Warning, warning, people move quickly from Jesus. Again, if you don't believe me, go read the book of Galatians. The whole book is centered on that. I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting the gospel. That's one of the first places Paul went with Barnabas and planted churches. So there's a warning. Just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Warning, people quickly move from Jesus to human reasoning, to human philosophy, to man-made rules, to self-made religion, adding to Jesus or distracting from him as if he's not enough. Don't do that. Stay with the substance. Hold fast to the head. Jesus is the way. In him, you will be rooted, built up, established, and overflowing. Let me close with the verse we began with. Therefore, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now, we're going to circle back into these warnings next week, the teachings the week following. But if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Yeah, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this little letter that Paul wrote to a church a long time ago. We're grateful that he reiterated to them their testimony of how they received Christ as Lord. And we're grateful for the prayers that he recorded for them and his labor that he was laboring toward them for their maturity in the faith. And we're grateful for the warnings and we're grateful for the instruction. Paul wrote this a long time ago. Your Holy Spirit penned it, and it's for our good. We need this. We need to hear it. We need to be warned. We need to be taught. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross for us, disarmed the rulers and authorities, raised from the dead, he is Lord. Father, I pray that as a church body, we would continue learning from this letter, that we would believe the promises and we'd listen to the teaching and we'd also believe the warnings, and that together we would become a people who are rooted and built up and established and overflowing with thanks for all that you have done for us and all that you promised to be for us in Christ. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, again, next week we'll come back to this book, the book of Colossians. We'll press back into the warnings, and then the following week we'll look into the teachings. So keep reading the book. Keep reading it. I realize we're 5 weeks in, and we've got 5 more weeks to go. But I'm trusting that by the end of the 10 weeks, we could almost quote the book because we've read it enough that it's just kind of in there. And we can look at the pages and say, oh yeah, this is how Paul introduces himself, and this is how Paul thanks God for them and prays for them, and this is how Paul works for them. And we gain from that, right? Yeah, good stuff. Praise God. This afternoon, this is a holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend, so I trust that you have a great weekend off, a great weekend away, remembering those who've lost their lives in the military, in service to our country, in service to us. But because it's a holiday weekend, we don't have anything going on after this service. We've been having community gatherings at lunchtime at 5 o'clock, but there's none of those scheduled today and nothing scheduled for tomorrow. I think next Sunday is a couple community gatherings scheduled, the Midland Group and also the Saginaw Township Group, so take notice of that. Those will begin again next Sunday afternoon. If you look into your bulletin, there's also a schedule of summer picnics. Now, last summer, we didn't have these picnics at all, and we missed them, but out behind our church is a pavilion on the north side of our property. There's a little driveway that takes you back to the pavilion, and starting in the month of June, we'll do some Sunday evening picnics. I think they're about every other week. It's just a great time. We, historically, those have been potluck. You just bring a dish to pass, but we're changing that this year, and the church is going to provide the meal, and we're just going to do hot dogs, chips, and cookies, and a drink, and so all you need to bring is a lawn chair or a blanket to sit on, but come out. Notice that, again, the schedule is in your bulletin. Just notice that they'll be beginning, and there's no big agenda to that other than just a great time of fellowship. Some people bring cornhole games, and we just have some fun and enjoy one another and press into one another, so notice that in your bulletin as well. Undoubtedly, there's a number of other announcements that I'm going to skip over and not read. Go to our website, check it out. There's a baby shower coming up for the Baldwins that's scheduled this month as well. So press into these things. Well, it's been great to be together. Keep your eyes on the Lord and keep building and encouraging one another up in the faith. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.